Getting paper on these player haters, old news. Money on the other line, so I'm not gonna hold you. Money on the other line, so I'm not gonna. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another edition of I'm Not Gonna Hold You. It is Friday, September 8th, 2023, man. It is your guy, Scott, and we are back for I'm Not Gonna Hold You. Y'all know to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Barbers Chair Scott. You know to follow the Barbers Chair Network at Barbers Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon right now, man. We appreciate everybody who subscribes. Patreon.com/Barbers Chair Network, man. We have got a nice schedule lined up for y'all, man. We're going to take a look at this little rundown for y'all of what we've got on deck for the afternoon. So we're doing 2 hours today, of course, the regular show format. Last week was just a preview episode. So in the first hour, we're going to be doing all this. We got catch up, sound off, man. I got a sound off on Deion Sanders, primetime, everybody, all that stuff going on in Carolina. Not Carolina, but Colorado. We're going to talk about Chiefs Lions. We're going to talk about which QB is under pressure. We got Nick Bosa and Joe Burrow who got new deals. We'll go over that. Then we'll have week one picks and odds. Mikey will have your gambling odds. And then we'll have my Goofy Mug of the Week for that. And then after that, we'll have the local hour. We'll show y'all the local hour rundown later on. So that's what we've got for today. But let's get the rest of the crew up in here, man. All the people here. First of all, we just want to give our love and support to our guy, J.R. Bang, who cannot join us today. He had a family emergency, man. So we're going to keep Bang and his family in our prayers, man. But we've got Dante in the house. Dante Miles, the president of Barbers Chair Network, fresh off the jet from last night's event. He has his phone on he has his mic on mute right now. But he's here right now.
Hey, you know, producing is a tough job, brother.
So yes, it is.
I'm doing a lot right now.
But, he's doing a lot right now. He's doing a lot.
Good to be back, man.
Hungover. He's back. We've got the one and only Mikey in the building. Mikey, what's going on, bro?
Chilling, man. It's Packer Week. It's Packer Week.
He's all together. He's dressed like an offensive lineman. We've got the homegirl Kurt Courtney in the house. Courtney, what is going on?
Oh, you know, just living the dream, ready to sit on my couch and watch football, especially ready for 7 hours of commercial-free football on Sunday.
And that is the best part. That is the best part. I am looking forward to that. I'm glad the Bears have the late game, so I can at least watch a little bit of red zone if I get up out of here, man. But let's start with the catch-up, man, for everybody. This is a new segment we're adding to the show. I don't know what's going on with me today, but we're adding to the show. Basically, we're just going to catch up on everybody's been on. So what's been going on? I know yesterday we had the Barbers Chair Network kickoff event. Shout-out to everybody who came through. Shout-out to the great folks over at Haymarket Pub and Brewery. We appreciate everybody over there, man. We had a great time. I had a little Kendall Roy moment where I led the crowd in a fuck Green Bay, which is amazing. Shout out to our ticket winner, Antoine Page. He won the Chicago Bears 2 tickets for a season this year. So shout out to him. Shout out to everybody, man. We've got some extra t-shirts that I will be putting up on the Second Night the Hallis page probably on Monday. Got a lot of stuff going on today, but stay in tune for that so we can get everything. Get y'all some shirts if y'all want to cop more. So, but what's going on, anybody else? What's been going on? What y'all got lined up for this upcoming weekend?
This weekend, yeah. I mean, I'm actually headed out to DC. Morehouse is playing Howard. It's gonna be a night game, so it's gonna be solid. Get out there. I'll probably play golf in the morning and then just go tailgate. So that's gonna be a good day. Nothing in and out, you know. Nothing crazy, but
Dante got a rich nigga schedule. Yeah, Dante got a
living
a
life, living a life and shit.
I'll be chilling.
Chicago Thursday, ATL Friday, Saturday.
DC on Saturday.
Hey man, hey, when you work hard, you gotta enjoy it. So you
hey, know, y'all that's a great hiring. Workforce. Y'all no, hiring.
We always. That's one thing I will say. We always hiring, bro. Just let me know.
I'm just chilling, man. I'm getting ready for a nice weekend. It's probably the only weekend. No, it's this weekend and then in a couple weeks. It's the only weekend I got off, you know. So I'm chilling, man. Getting ready to Saturday. I'm going to give time to my girl. Saturday, she gets, you know, she gets all my love and attention. We're going to do whatever she wants. Sushi, shopping, whatever. Sunday, she
got to. You're going to be like the T.I. You can do whatever you like video.
Yeah. Sunday, get the fuck out. I'm single.
What's going on with you? I'm going to the lake tomorrow. Never done that in Texas. I will not be getting in that water, just to confirm. We got the Bama-Texas game tomorrow night, so I got to make it.
Roll damn tide. Roll tide.
Roll tide. Horns down. You know the vibes. Sunday, I got football. That's my plan. I might step out of the house. I'll be rocking the Randall Cunningham Eagles jersey. All across Dallas, very upset.
Heat. Yeah, get them Cowboys fans pissed off. I love pissing off Cowboy fans. I'm hitting the town tonight. Tomorrow, I had something to do. I was gonna shoot. By the way, there's gonna be I'm not gonna hold you video coming soon. I'm doing some dope shit. Shout out my man, the boy Illinois, who does the intro that you hear every time. We actually work on a legit video that you will see at the beginning of each and every show. So we were gonna shoot that yesterday. We're gonna do it next Saturday, because me and my brother, he wanted a specific camera to use, and I don't get in the way of directors when they want a certain equipment to use. So I'm like, all right, cool, we'll wait to do that next week. And then Sunday is Bears Packers, man. Of course, it's first game of the season, so it's an all-day thing. So I will be at Soldier Field from like noon to about probably 8 p.m. on Sunday. So my entire Sunday is shot. So, and then of course we'll be right back for y'all on Monday with our first Monday show. So that's pretty much what I got going on this weekend, man. But let's just get right into it. We're gonna start off with the sound off. Now, for everybody who knows, the sound off is where I sound off for a couple minutes on, you know, specific topics in the sports world. And you know, we're going to do this a little differently this year because, of course, it's a group effort. So, basically, I'm going to give my sound off. Same thing with Goofy Mog of the Week. I'll give my sound off. I'll give my Goofy Mog of the Week. And then I will give it to my esteemed co-host. And they let me know if I'm tweaking or not. So, we're going to start off with my sound off for this week on Deion Sanders. Coach Prime, I'm a big, massive fan of Deion Sanders. I've been a fan of Deion since I was a little kid. Like, if y'all want to know how big of a fan I was, I had the Deion Sanders Baltimore Ravens jersey. So, nobody can question my prime time. Exactly. He had five interceptions last year. That year, though, let's give some respect to Prime. He had five picks that year. I had the 37 Baltimore Ravens. Of course, I had the Cowboys. I was a big fan. I watched the game last week. Very, very entertaining game. Y'all know I'm not big on college sports at all. Mike even hit me in the text like, "Are you fucking watching college sports?" So, right. But it was an entertaining game. Shadur, Travis, they all had great games, man. But what I want to talk about really isn't the game, because that's almost a week old at this point. They're getting ready to play Nebraska tomorrow at home in Boulder. I'm pretty sure that's going to be a nice crowd. It's going to be a stupid crowd coming off that big win. My thing I want to talk about is the media reception, man. And there's a lot of people in the media space. And we have a lot of this going on in the group chat. And I have to be the political one a lot of times because I work with these people. So I'm not going to name names. But there was a couple people on here where I felt like we're acting like hall monitors, man. And the thing to me is, whatever you feel about Deion one way or another, Prime is himself. Prime has not changed. He's the same Prime he's been literally my entire life. He got drafted when I was like not even 1 year old yet. So Prime Time has been this guy forever. And I don't know why people thought he would change by coaching. You know, we could sit up here and think about, you know, maybe he'll change this stuff because of this. No, that's just how Prime is. And I think you gotta respect it. Now, the outcry from some media was, oh, well, you know, it's not our job as the media to be biased or to pick sides. Nobody's telling y'all to pick sides. You can say what you want to say and pick whatever sides you want to pick. But when players and athletes and coaches decide to call you out, and Prime just happens to be both. Not only he's not just a regular athlete, he's one of the greatest athletes of all time. When you have that situation, he's going to call you out. So you have a situation where you're saying, oh, he's being lame about it. I think at the end of the day, it's a lot of people in the media sector who are lame. Let's just keep it real. A lot of y'all got tossed and locker energy, man. And to me, the thing is like, yeah, there's going to be a game we're going to lose. I'm not saying that Colorado is going to go off. They're going to have a great season. They're going to win a bowl game. They're going to be, you know, in the top polls, whatever. I'm not saying all that. But this is a big game. This is a big win over a team that was just in the national championship just a couple months ago. And now we're always doing the, well, why are they acting like they're celebrating everything? And I just feel like all of it is lame to me. And it's like, let Prime cook, man. If you're wrong, You got to be able to come to the table and take it on the chin when you're wrong about something. And Deion's not lame for calling you out on that. You know, some people want to be super cool and want to and say maybe he's sticking for validation. Just the thing about the biggest problem for me with media being on the other side is they don't like being called out. We can call out players and athletes and coaches all day long, and there's no issue. They have to deal with it. But when the shoe is on the other foot, then it's a problem, man. So I just want to say, you know, let Deion cook. And if he loses, one thing about Prime, he going to wear that too. So what y'all think about the whole Prime Time situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, everybody had comments about, you know, the way he turned over the roster, the way he used the transfer portal and things like that. But he showed you, you know, everybody hasn't used it the same way. You know, TCU had several players that had just transferred in as well. You know, everybody uses it. But for some reason with Prime, because he was open and honest with the kids, which a lot of coaches aren't, he came in and just flat out said, yo, hey, a lot of y'all not going to be here. You know, a lot of people just haven't, you know, agreed with the way he did it. But he's shown you, you know, he has a plan. And he, so far, like you said, first week, I'm not going to lie, I didn't expect the victory, like you said. But everybody in the media didn't either. Everybody, you know, thought TCU was going to blow him out. 21 points was a spread. So, you know, that even the bookmakers thought it was going to be an ugly game. And, you know, he came out and completely proved us wrong. So, like you said, with the media, a lot of these guys – they want to talk down to people. They want to be able to tell you what you do, what you did wrong, and how you should do your job. But when things like this happen, like you said, you got to wear it. So, like, I don't think Deion's tweaking. I don't think you're tweaking either. Like, that's just the way it is. It's like, if you're wrong, you're wrong, bro. And people got to wear that.
Yep.
No, I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, I think it's – I agree. It's a lot of stuffed in the locker mentality ass motherfuckers out there, especially in the media. And a lot of people are threatened. People are threatened by people who are confident, who are vocal. And this is a changing of the guard. There's a lot of old guard mentality, whether that's in the corporate workplace, whether that's in, you know, in professional sports. It's, oh, that's not the way it was done. I mean, we can get into this conversation about, you know, just off of how NFL coaches go off preseason, about starting rookie quarterbacks. We can go on and on about the different shift in mentality. But the number one thing is those kids follow Deion and they believe in their coach. That's all you want. If they were my kids and they were going to school, I would want my kid to go play for a motherfucker who is not going to sugarcoat my son or my daughter, who is not going to, you know, obviously within the realms of, you know, keeping it respectful, don't put your hands on my kids, but who is going to, you know, who's going to lead them, because life is not easy. You know, not all of those kids are going to end up going and play and reach the next level. But what Deion is instilling, the confidence, the believing in what you stand for, the knowing that people are going to doubt you and, you know, it's only on you to go and prove people wrong. That shit applies to all walks of life. Whether you're a teacher, whether you're a janitor, in any aspect of life, those are traits. Those are character building traits. So I just find it funny. You know, I don't really find it funny. We know what it is. We know there's a lot of racist undertones as to how the media, a lot of coaches, how people feel about Deion. But you know, like Dante said, they told you what they think of Colorado. They were a 21-point underdog. That's three touchdowns.
21, dog.
21-point underdog.
It should not have been, honestly, even. I don't know how you could look. What, because they played in the Natty? Like, did anybody else watch that game? That was a dog walking. Like, that was unintended. That was 100%. A dog walking.
100%. And that was not the team we saw in the national title game. Like,
yeah, that whole roster's gone.
That whole roster is gone, and you know, like, let's be real. You know, and Colorado, you know, the same as Dante. The way when we looked at the schedule, we talked about it in the group chat. We thought they were going to get washed. You know, there's probably only prior to what happened last week, there was probably one game that we saw them being favored at, and that was September 16th at Colorado State. But now they've gone from being 21-point underdogs to now going up against, you know, Matt Rhule, you know, and Nebraska's rebuilding, a Big Ten team, and they're a favorite. You know, they're a small favorite at home. They'll probably be a favorite now going into Colorado State. So now expectations have adjusted. So I don't think you're tripping at all. I don't think, you know, you're wrong in any of your points. I just think people are intimidated. And this is a new guard, you know, way of thinking. And, you know, and I applaud it. I respect it.
Yeah, but I was going to say, bro, Deion is really the anti-Dabo. Like, I can't stand Clemson in every way, shape, and form. Bro, I think everybody said that
Clemson lost the other day.
Bro, when he said we made our program in God's name, image, and likeness, I'm like, if you don't get the fuck out of here, bro, like, these coaches always do this. Like, you don't get paid millions of dollars, and now you have an issue with certain players getting paid. Because, like, we've all said it. Like, we've all seen it. If you actually do the research and look at the NIL deals, everybody's not getting paid. Everybody's not rolling around in a Bentley and all this other silly shit like people try to make it seem. And, like, that's when the racist undertones come out, when you hear them talk about it in a way that, like, we're just paying these kids and they're not earning it. And, like, it's just BS. And so they're scared because, like, the Deion knows how to play the game. Like it was funny. It was a joke. But when he went up to Sanders after the game, where it was like, that's every coach in America's worst nightmare. Because it's like, these kids see Deion, bro. And they're like, no, I'm going to go play for him. Like, he empowers his team.
100%, and I'm gonna keep it, you know, I'm gonna keep it short real quick before we pass it off to Courtney. But let me remind motherfuckers, Nick Saban was in Deion's living room trying to recruit Shador.
Yep,
he was being recruited by Power Five. Like, this ain't no fluke. You know what I'm saying? He could have went to Bama. He turned that down. So don't be shocked if you continue to see success on Saturday, you know, coming out of Boulder from Shador. And, you know, it's only gonna elevate more. So, you know, I think it's exciting. I think it's good for college football. I think it's good for college sports.
Honestly, there's nothing else that I can truly add that isn't. We're completely aligned. It's good for the sport. He's good for the sport. More eyes on the game. What I thought I saw something about how there's like three times as many bets on the Colorado-Nebraska game than any remaining regular season NFL and college football game. Like, that's crazy. And overall, if we're all fans of the sport, we want this. We encourage it for better or for worse. It's great for the game.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that one, man. And mad love for Deion, man. That's gonna be the only team I'm watching this year because I don't really bang with college. That and Caleb Williams. I'm locked into USC football. I'm 100% watching. Yeah, by the way, I caught Cap on him sitting out, by the way. Yeah, I don't buy that. He has the power to do that, but I don't believe he will. But that's gonna be the other people I'm watching.
I will
shout out my man B Dot in the chat room. We see y'all about to ruin my Sunday. No, we'll ruin your Sunday in the luck wild, nigga, when we get to them Packers.
bro, before we go from Caleb, I'll say this. If there's any school that could put an NIL package to keep him there, it's USC.
It's USC, 100%. Did you see him in the Wendy's commercial?
Yeah, like they can keep him there if he's like, no, I'm not going to Arizona. Like, he could really be on some Magic Johnson shit.
Yeah, he really could, man. But let's get into the first topic of the day, man. We were talking about last week. We were getting y'all ready for the preview of everything on the NFL. We had our first game last night at Kansas City Arrowhead Stadium. Unfortunately, the Detroit Lions came out on top. Detroit Lions are now 1-0. They won 21-20 in a very competitive game. Jared Goff went 25 of 35, 253 yards passing. He had one touchdown. David Montgomery, who my auntie loves because my auntie is from the west side of Chicago, but she's living in Detroit for like 20 years, so she's like a fake Lion fan now. She called me last night cutting a promo. And she kept saying, thank you for David Montgomery. And I was like, this is a typical Demo game. Like, he really wasn't flashy, but he made a big touchdown. But Demo had 21 carries, 74 yards. The game went a touchdown. Rookie Jahmyr Gibbs had 7 carries, 42 yards. Wide receivers Josh Reynolds and the good St. Brown, as me and Bane like to call him, the right St. Brown. Amon-Ra St. Brown had a combined 151 yards receiving and a touchdown. Now, on the Chiefs side, Mr. Patrick Mahomes, baby goat, as I like to call him, he had 21 of 39, 226 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, and an interception, which was a pick 6. A big moment in that game that got him back in there. He led the team with 45 rushing yards. I'll tell you everything you need to know about their rushing attack last night. And this is the terrible wide receiver production. I know Justin Fields was watching this game last night, felt like Denzel, remember the Titans. Not so fun anymore, is it? No, it's not funny anymore. Not even a little bit. I'm pretty sure that's exactly how Justin felt. As you look at the receiving core, the leading wide receiver was Marquez Valdez-Scantling. He had 2 receptions with 48 yards, and most of that came on a 3rd and 17 in the third quarter. And, of course, the guy who deleted his Twitter account today, Kadarius Toney, had 1 reception, 1 negative yard. Oh, he dropped a big pass, which pretty much probably would have won the game. They're basically in field goal range. after that fourth down turnover, which I loved by Man Campbell. I hate that I like Dan Campbell as much as I do. I was listening to his interview with Rich Eisen. I was like, this nigga just loves football, though. Like, if he wasn't coach of the Lions, I would love him, man. But so far, the Chiefs are 0-1. The funniest thing to me, obviously, was seeing Chris Jones in the press box with his two Sopranos-looking lawyers. I mean, agents. And then we had Travis Kelce with the racist mustache. He did not play. Hyperextended knee. They don't think he'll be serious. But he was definitely missed. So I'm gonna give this to Courtney first. Courtney, what did you think about the game last night?
First thing, I really liked that fake punt. I thought that that was a lot of moxie. I'm like, okay, he is not messing around in Arrowhead. First game of the season, it's a bold move. Big fan. Other than that, I mean, Jared Goff didn't throw a pick. I mean, I was a little shocked there, but I guess it's a testament to how not great the Chiefs defense is. That Chris Jones I think it's kind of weird that they let those dudes into the stadium. I was having this conversation with someone last night. Like, you're a member of the organization, but like, you're not playing. So like,
right, yeah.
Why are you here? Like, I guess it would be bad to bar them from entering because then they can craft the narrative that like, oh, you know,
we're being held out.
Yeah. Like, I get it. But like, that was super awkward and being, sandwiched right in between.
I think it was more just a little bit show of respect for the fact that, you know, like, that was their banner night, you know, like, we're not going to keep that from you. You know what I'm saying? It's like a scorn, you know, baby mama, baby daddy keeping a kid from a graduation.
Right.
Do you think he'll be at the next game? If he's still holding out, do you think he'll be at the next game?
100% not. No.
I don't think so. Yeah,
I think they just did it for that opening night, for the banner. You know, he was a part of the championship team. Clearly, he wants to be there, but he wants to get paid.
Also approved. You niggas need me.
Speaking of...
I don't think the defense played too bad last night.
Yeah. They gave up 14 points. Like, we being real, they gave up 14 points. And there's another dude, I cannot pronounce his name, on that defensive line that they were missing as well. It's the two best players. So,
I mean, Mahomes was spreading the ball around a lot. Like, that's cool. But I think we all have kind of made the joke that, like, oh, he could throw the ball, you know, to my 7-year-old little sister, you know, and be successful. And I think we're kind of realizing that Travis Kelce and maybe Tyreek Hill were a lot more pivotal to this offense than maybe we originally thought. Maybe not necessarily Tyreek Hill, just because he obviously wasn't on the team last year. But, like, he needs Travis Kelce. And that should show a lot of teams moving forward. Defenses, especially defense planning. Like, you know where he's going to throw the ball. Like, you know where the ball is going. It's not going to anybody else. So... yeah, they got to do something. They might be in a little bit of trouble. I don't think Kadarius Toney's going to have games like that every week, but I'm a little concerned.
Last night was definitely, you know, two of my favorite agendas in football. One, you know, Matt Patricia was a fucking bum, and you know, shut up, Dan Campbell. Like, anytime I could slander that man, you know, for having a pencil in the laminated play sheet, I will do that. And the other one, Matt Nagy is still a terrible play caller. Like, the Kansas City Chiefs are gonna miss Eric Bieniemy, and I want to see how much that plays out this season. We all, when they ran that dumbass jet sweep, we knew who called that play. Like, it wasn't a doubt in our mind who called that play. And so I want to see how that affects them throughout the year. And like you said, they're not having receivers. It's kind of like, I think in Kansas City, and like, this happens a lot when you have a great quarterback, the wide receivers get treated the way running backs get treated. It's like, as long as I got somebody serviceable that can go in there, then we solid. But, you know, you saw how much they really missed Travis Kelce, who was really – he's really like their wide receiver one. You know, he's a tight end, but he's his primary target. That's his guy. So you saw that. That was definitely, you know, glaring. But I really want to see how Matt Nagy adjusts to being, the play caller again, because he is terrible. And so I want to see, with this talent, what is he going to do?
No, I agree. I don't think yesterday we learned anything. I don't think we learned anything new about the Lions. Like, the Lions ain't really show me nothing. I know it's crazy to say that you know, you go to Arrowhead, it's a tough place to play, and you beat the defending champs, on banner night. But they didn't really show me nothing out of the ordinary to think that they're going to be some type of force this year in the NFC. I still think that outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown, they have a clear deficiency in wide receiver talent. You know, I know they went and invested in Jameson Williams, but he's suspended for, you know, for being in my gambling group chat. So that it is what it is.
Way too many parlays.
You know what I'm saying? Way too many parlays on Killian Hayes assist and shit. But, you know, I think, you know, I had mentioned this, you know, last week, you know, the Chiefs are going to find out now, you know, where they're lacking because they don't have a true number one wide receiver. You know, I agree with Dante. It's Kelce, wide receiver one, you know, at the tight end position. But, you know, yesterday was cool. That game flew by to me. Like, anybody else feel like that game flew?
No, it
like,
did.
I just looked up, and it was like 3 minutes in the first half. And I'm like, what the fuck?
We were intoxicated, so yeah.
That's what.
Oh, yeah. I was just laying on the couch. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is already, like, there's 3 minutes left. So, you know, I think it was a sloppy game. There was obviously plays to be made. By the Chiefs, I, full disclaimer, I bet them live -1.5. And realistically, they were in position to go ahead and kick the game winning field goal if they wanted to. But you know, the Kadarius Toney got hands like my grandma, and you know, that's what it is. So, it was cool, you know, it was cool. I don't really take nothing away from it, but we'll see if Kelce doesn't play next week. Then, yeah, you know, it's gonna be something to monitor on, you know, with the Chiefs going forward.
Do we know who the Chiefs play next week?
Whoever they play, they're gonna win by a million. But let's see. I will tell you right now.
Why are you looking that up? Let me say this. We need to.
Oh, the Jaguars. They got the Jaguars.
That's gonna be a game.
And then they got the Bears. Who are gonna be 3-0 by then? So I don't know.
Hopefully.
A little too much dipping shit right there. You know?
Yeah, but bro, they gotta make a category for when a ball hits the receiver in both hands and gets deflected in his interception, because I feel like that should not be on the quarterback. Like, far too often, we see these passes hit people in the face, hit them up fucking both hands, and it ends up as an interception. And I feel like that's just not, because I mean, I never do this, you know, but to Dak, you know, in his defense, a lot of his interceptions, like, I think, like,
we defended Dakota today
we don't usually defend the police, but it's just one of those things. Well, yeah, like a lot of his interceptions are off of receivers. So, like, those deflected interceptions, bro, that's always trash. And for the game to turn like that because of it, like you said, I agree. I don't think Tony's going to have another bad game like that. Hopefully he deleted his Instagram to, you know, lock in, not just because he was embarrassed. But I think that he'll be all right.
I think I'm with y'all, man. I don't think that – I'm not nervous about the Chiefs. Like, I think that Travis Kelce shouldn't be rushed because hyperextended knee, you don't want to play around with something like that, especially with so much football left and also with how big of a importance he was. Like I said, Tony is not a – he's not a bum. Like, Tony, he had a really good year last year. He had a good postseason. I think he'll bounce back. Pat is somebody who knows how to get his guys back rolling. Shout out to Robert Knox in the chat. He said, Big Red taking the play calling back like Thanos. If there's anything – for anybody who wondered why doesn't Eric Bieniemy have an actual job as a head coach, if anything, this year is going to help him out tremendously. Because as me, as Mikey, as Dante, as we know, this bald bastard Matt Nagy is an example of white privilege, that he still has a job. Okay, and I was never mad at Mitch. I can't be mad at trash for being trash. I'm mad at Ryan Pace for drafting him, seeing that light-skinned king and Mahomes throw and think, you know what? If Mitch isn't there, then I'll get that nigga. So he deserves being Guantanamo Bay because of that. But also Matt Nagy. I called Matt Nagy out a long time ago. I remember 5 years ago. It wasn't even – I think it was like week 3 or week 4. I realized, yo, he might be a merchant. And like the interception off. I don't remember – people remember that. Sunday Night Football, the Rams and the Bears, both teams were good. And Mitch and Goff were just huffing it out. And then play call. I told my man Lotto sitting right there. I was like, this nigga's trash. We tell him that he's going to screw us. So if there's anything the Chiefs need to be worried about, it's Matt Nagy. And not only Matt Nagy, if you're Eric Bieniemy, you know what I'm saying? That exactly is what is going to help him out. Shout out to Mikey for putting this in the chat. That's why I don't have my phone on D&D doing the show. Pat McAfee and Stephen A. Smith are running up a check, man. I got to get love to them. Nick Saban is going to be on Pat McAfee's show every Thursday.
And Aaron Rodgers every Tuesday.
Aaron Rodgers every Tuesday. Here's this. Pat McAfee is going to be on First Take with Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp every Tuesday. Do you understand the quality of content we're going to get?
They are curb stomping Skip Bayless ass, boy. Curb stomping. They are going out of their way.
Stephen A. should watch this.
Bury his ass.
Lil Wayne got to give Skip a verse at this point. This is the only way he going to get right.
Skip,
that's Skip the intro of the show, though. Yeah, no.
Skip, awful F1 song. Yeah. No, Skip needs to be on the next album. That's it. He's done. He's done in the streets. No man. Shrimp, no rice, no champagne at Fox Sports One.
No, nothing. I'm gonna say this before we move on to our next topic. Also, I agree with you, Mike. I didn't, and this is not a hater comment. I know it's gonna come off as a hater comment because I'm embarrassed, man. I didn't learn anything from Detroit last. You were supposed to win that game. If you got him throwing to El Pollo Loco workers, if you've got the defense missing, that you have to win that game. So I think it's a game where it's unfair in sports, but when you win a game that you when you win a game that you're supposed to win, nobody really gives you credit for. Now I will say this is a good start for Detroit, because next week they get to go to Atlanta and play, or I don't know if it's in Atlanta or in Detroit, but they're playing against Desmond Ridder it's at the crib in Ford Field, which is actually one of my favorite, I hate to say it, one of my favorite stadiums in football. Like, it gets loud in Detroit. Yeah, it's going to be dope out there. I think they can go 2-0, man. So we're going to see how that goes. Let's go on to our next topic, man. This is a quick one. I want to talk about vet quarterbacks who are under the most pressure. Dante, who you think the heat is on the most coming into this season?
I got two. It's Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott. I think with Aaron Rodgers, you handpicked where you want to go. You know what that franchise is going through and how long it's been since they won a Super Bowl. And it's like, you can be the guy, on Broadway to make that happen. So I think you selected that place. So I think the pressure's on Aaron Rodgers. Not saying, I think Shannon Sharp made a good point when he was like, it all depends on how long he wants to play. Like, if this is his last year, or if it ain't going to be his last year because he deferred all his money. We know that. But, he has to win a Super Bowl. So I think right now, every year going into it, the pressure is going to be on Aaron Rodgers to make that happen, because everything we said about the Jets is they're a quarterback away. And now you have one of the best to ever do it. So it's like, what are we doing here? And I think with Dak, like I said, I call him Dak Cousins. He has been extremely mediocre and gets everybody not in the NL, the NFC East. But I think this is the year he got to put up a shut up. You see, they took a flyer on to Trey Lance to see, and we've seen how it's going in Dallas. We talked about that with, their quarterback is usually an injury away, and then that new guy comes in and he becomes the guy and keeps the job. So I think the pressure is definitely on Dak this year. Like, we've talked about the Cowboys year after year, how good their roster is. And so now what is he going to do? He has to win. I want to say he has to at least get to the NFC Championship game, but I think he has to at least win one playoff game. Flat out.
I agree with that. I'm going to go with Mr. Unlimited himself, Mr. Russell Wilson, because if Sean Payton can't get it out of you, then it just might just be over. And I never thought that we talk about players talking this and playing themselves out of the Hall of Fame. This nigga might actually be playing himself out of the Hall of Fame. He's only putting up points on Sierra right now. That's the only thing he's doing. Like, the nigga pops out a baby every fucking 5 months. So, like, outside of that... There's no explosive offense. Yeah, there's no explosive offense coming from Paul's, by the way. Yeah, there's no explosive offense coming from Russell Wilson outside of that. Paul's again. Okay. I think it's him. If Sean Payton can't do it, nobody can. And I think that as a Bears fan, I'm very happy that the Bears didn't trade them picks for him right now. But he's got to get together, man, because if this is it, it's over. And I think they're going to try to look to see what they can do to maybe get a younger quarterback. They're not going to be bad enough to be in the Caleb Williams. Maybe they can find a way if Shadur goes real hard. They're going to have to come up with a backup plan to be able to get back in this, because I think he has the most pressure, man. So I'm going to go with Russell Wilson.
I'm in the same camp as both of y'all. Actually, that was kind of my top three people under the most pressure. And I was actually just having a conversation with someone about that Boulder to Denver pipeline for Shadur Sanders could be a thing, but I don't know how open they would be to another black quarterback so soon after the failure of Russell Wilson. Just being honest.
Too many niggas, not enough niggas.
Yeah, but no, I think Dakota Reigns, Rain Dakota, is that what it is? Rain, he's got
Is it Rain Dakota or Dakota Rain? Either way, it's terrible.
Either way, he's the one that's got to get it figured out, because you have arguably the best defense in the NFL. You've got mad weapons on offense. Now you got to go do something, man. There's literally no excuse for you. There's no excuse.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you got to move on. I agree. It was between both of them, Dak and Russell Wilson. But I'll go a little outside the box. Let's go to that man up in Buffalo, Josh Allen. Like kind of, you know, how we were saying last week. I think there's a lot of, you know, I don't think they're putting enough pressure on the Bills, because this is a ready-made team, ready to win. I mean, they've made, you know, improvements every year that he's been there. They've made it to the playoffs, but they haven't, you know, gotten over that hump. So the division is tougher. In no way means, you know, shape or form do I think his job is on the line, but there's pressure. You know, if the Bills do not make any noise in their division this year, I think right now they probably are still favorites to win their division. But if they don't make some serious noise in the playoffs, then the headlines and the storylines going into next year is, can the Buffalo Bills win with Josh Allen, or, you know, have they hit a wall? So I think that's something to monitor, as, you know, outside of the Dak. And, you know, I mean, I agree with all of y'all. You know, Dak has been the starting QB since 2016. You know, we're going on, you know, year seven, you know, year eight, you know, and they haven't really done shit of note, you know, not to Jerry's expectations. So he's easily the clear cut, you know, favorite, but I would put Josh Allen, you know what I'm saying? I'll load Josh Allen up in that clip, and I think I'll be ready to fire on him, you know, as we get to January and February, we get into the offseason, you know, depending what Buffalo does.
Definitely, definitely, man. Let's move on before we get into our full week preview, which be coming up in 1 second. I want to talk about some big news that broke over this last couple of days, man, of some guys who got paid. Of course, we're talking about holdouts. One of these is a holdout. The other wasn't a holdout. But we're talking about Chris Jones not too long ago. But Mr. Nick Bosa shows that racism pays off, as he got paid massively. 5-year, $170 million contract with the San Francisco 49ers, $122.5 of that million is guaranteed. And then last night, and I do not think this is a coincidence of the timing it got announced, because these two gentlemen are getting their real Jay-Z and Nas on right now in their rivalry, the only real rivalry to Patrick Mahomes. That is my man Joe Burrow. He agreed to a 5-year extension with the Cincinnati Bengals for $275 million. And here's the kicker, $219.01 million guaranteed for Joe Burrow, man. Quickly, let's just give our quick thoughts on what y'all think about these two moves before we get into our preview.
My first thought is how unbelievably petty the timing of Joe Burrow's deal was. Like, right before the game started. Like, wow, do you need the attention that bad? Never see in heaven. Oh, yeah. Follow up. God, Nick Bosa, that is going to fund a lot of GOP super PACs. That Moms for Liberty donation is going to be massive.
A lot of DeSantis campaign dollars made.
100%.
Bro, somebody said he saw that check and said, I'll build that damn wall myself.
That was me. Shout out to all my Mexicans, but hey.
Yeah, but nah, like, bro, he's definitely, like you said, I was disappointed because I wanted the Bears to go after him, but I knew eventually San Francisco was going to pay him. Like, you can't let that type of talent walk out the door. And same with Joe Burrow. I know I'm glad he got paid because, you know, he is a little older, and we've seen the injuries with Joe. Like you said, luckily it was just a calf strain coming into the...
And he will be playing Sunday.
Yeah, he will be playing week one. So, you know, we avoided crisis there. But a guy like Joe, like, he's a player you build around. So, you know, a lot of people, like, didn't want to hear me when I said this, but I think Joe Burrow, everybody, like, wants to crown Herbert as, like, the next guy. Like, nah, it's Joe Burrow. Like, flat out, it's Pat Mahomes, and then I got Joe, like, everywhere. And I know he's always had a good supporting cast around and great weapons and whatnot, but still, what he does as a quarterback, he deserved every dollar.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, I think we knew it was a formality. It was just a matter of time before he was going to get paid. And we knew he was, as it always goes, it's cyclical. The next one always one-ups the next one. So, you know, well-deserved. I mean, Joe Burrow, outside of Patrick Mahomes, is my favorite quarterback to watch because he's a cold motherfucker, you know.
And you know, so he don't look corny.
You know what I'm saying? That's Joe Burrow. Burrow. So, no, you know, that's good for him. And, I mean, now, you know, we have to transition to who are going to be the next quarterbacks down the road that are going to, you know, start getting paid. And that's where, you know, we have to probably keep an eye on the Trevor Lawrences, the Justin Fields, that, you know, that rookie class to see where they go, you know. So it's interesting to see. You know, I wish that shit worked like that in the corporate world. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Oh, my coworker got this. Well, this is what I got. Let me one up you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But no, and I agree with Courtney. It was super petty right before kickoff. But you know, that's how it is.
I love the one upsmanship there by Burrow, man. Like, oh yeah, you got your little cute ring, nigga. But I'm finna go buy me a Bentley like today. Like, but I think
you think they're gonna pay T. Higgins?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. I mean, you know, now you got you know, I mean, they always have the franchise tag at their disposal. You know, they got two wide receivers. You know, I don't know if Jamar Chase got a contract or if he didn't, but you know, you figure one will get a contract, one will get tagged, and you know, they play those games, you know, and it's got the potential to get ugly over there. But LOL to all you fucking Bengals fans that kept thinking Joe Burrow was gonna give you a hometown discount. Newsflash, he didn't. So, you know,
with that cheap ass owner, hell no.
Nope.
Absolutely not. But yeah, I say, man, I think it's a good deal for both teams, man. I love Joe Burrow. I think that's self-explanatory. I wear a MAGA hat for Bosa to be on the Bears. So I have no shame. If he was on the Bears, I'd be like, I don't know, man. Dude, I might be side with him. So you might have some
points here. Let's hear him out. Let's hear him out.
Points were made.
Points were made. So, but shout out to both of them, man, for their payday, man. So let's get into it. We're going to start off right now with our full week one preview show. We will preview preview segment. We'll preview Bears Packers in the local hour. So we're gonna skip off that game. Now Mikey has gambling odds. Mike, how you want to do this? Do you want to do this like we do it per game, or do we do it where, you know, you just want to give like the top games that you're looking at?
We could go per game and give our predictions, and then I'll let you know if I got some action on that one. There's a few games that I got. You know, I got a parlay for everybody because I know everybody loves parlays. I got a prop bet for everybody because I know, you know, throw that in your parlay or take a single. And I got two single bets that I like, you know, for teams outright. So we can go into the prediction, and you know, towards the end, I'll give a rundown of it, and you know, we'll also post it on Twitter too.
Okay, cool, perfect. So let's start off with the first game I got laid out here, man. We got in Baltimore, we got the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, the new look Ravens. Now, Odell Beckham is listed as questionable for the game. He messed up his hamstring in practice, which tells you that Odell is fully back when he's listed questionable. And they'll be going up against C.J. Stroud in his first NFL game and the Houston Texans. I'm going to go with this one. I'm going to go Ravens, man. I think it's going to be an easy win for them. I think the Ravens are going to be a team that a lot of people are going to enjoy watching. I think this is going to be a very competitive division in the AFC North. I'm really excited to see Zay Flowers. I think he's one of the guys that I was looking at in the draft. If the Bears had an opportunity to get him, he'd been a god of light. But I just feel like this is going to be a very bad season for the Texans. I don't think that they – I can't even name a wide receiver on them. I don't really know how well D'Amico Ryan's going to do as a first-time head coach. So it's a lot of question marks, man. I think they're gonna start the game off with a thrashing in this one. So I'm gonna go with Baltimore.
Yeah, I agree. I got Baltimore. Although I am higher on the Texans than you are, I think CJ Stroud is gonna be really good, and I think he's gonna show some flashes year one. May not be week one, but I think he's definitely gonna be solid this year. I know I forgot his name, so it's I'm not gonna say that, but as a wide receiver, they drafted him from Houston. He's a rookie.
Tank Dell.
CJ Stroud, you know, requested that they draft him, and they, you know, went ahead and did that. And so I think the Texans are going to be solid, but I think week one, I definitely got the Ravens. I think Lamar's gonna throw it, he's gonna put on the show.
Same. I'm going to put a little bit more respect on the Texans as well. Damian Pierce, I think he's going to get a lot of reps. I like him to have a good season. Also, I think C.J. Stroud's going to have to lean on Dalton Schultz, who's new down there from Dallas. I kind of like that veteran presence there for him. So I do think Baltimore's going to win, and I don't think it's going to be close. But I got to give the Texans their props because I think they're going to try their best.
I agree with y'all. So that is one of my plays. It's in the parlay. So the Ravens are favored by 9.5 points. I think they win by 17 or more. This game is perfectly set up for Lamar Jackson and the new look, you know, offensive side of the ball for the Ravens to show up and show out. The Texans will be missing their starting safety, Jimmy Ward. And, you know, for everybody who knows football, Jimmy Ward was a key contributor for the Niners and D'Amico Ryans at safety these last couple years. And rookie quarterbacks on the road in their first start. That's tough. Baltimore is going to be a very tough place to play. And the Texans will be down three of their five starting offensive linemen, including their, you know, newly signed, you know, right tackle in Titus Howard. So I think this game is going to get ugly. I'm going to ride with the Ravens. And, you know, that is one of my plays, the Ravens minus 9.5.
Okay, cool. Next one, big AFC North matchup, man. In Cleveland, in the dog pound, we got D. Kelly, and yes, I'll be calling him out for the remainder of the season. Just want to let y'all know right now. D. Kelly, Deshaun Watson, will be having his first full season as Browns quarterback, and they will be taking on the man we just mentioned, the $275 million man, Joe Burrow, and the Cincinnati Bengals, man. This is going to be a really good game, in my opinion. I don't really know what I think about the Browns because I think it really all depends on how Deshaun bounces back. I don't think that if we just look on the field, and I'm going to keep saying it all season, if we just look on the field before his situation, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And his only problem was being sacked all that many times. So if he can get that back, I think they're going to be a good team and they're going to be up in it. But in this one, I'm going with the Bengals, man. I feel like the Bengals are – we brought up the Bills earlier, Mikey, about them kind of being make or break. With now the contract from Burrow, the clock is speeding up now because we all know that everybody in this core is not going to be coming back. So even though he missed all the training camp, he got hurt on day one, didn't play in preseason. He's a guy, he's a vet. Well, I don't think he really needs preseason. I think he'll be ready to go. And I think the Bengals are going to win in a very, very close game. I'll probably take him by like three in this one.
Okay, I hear you. I hear you on that one. I'm actually on the Browns money line, the Browns to win outright. So that's actually one of my plays too. The Browns own Joe Burrow and the Bengals since Joe Burrow has been there. Joe Burrow is 1-4 against the Browns. In four out of five games that he has played against the Cleveland Browns, he has been sacked more than four times. They just clearly have his number. And I'm excited to see what the Browns look like now that kind of not that he was a distraction, but Kareem Hunt is gone, and this is solely going to be Nick Chubb's backfield. So I feel like they have a little bit more clarity on how they're going to go with the running game. Deshaun Watson was a top five talent, you know, before everything, you know, went down, like you said, Scott. So I think this is going to be a big bounce back year for him. They add Elijah Moore. You got Amari Cooper. You got a full offseason with Amari Cooper and Deshaun Watson to build that rapport. They're playing at home, and like I said, they have a great, you know, track record against the Cleveland Browns. Against the Cincinnati Bengals. So I like the Cleveland Browns to win this game outright. That is one of my plays. I just think there's still some uncertainty with, Joe Burrow's calf. This is, you know, obviously he's going to be out there for the first time all season. You know, he hasn't stepped, you know, on the field, you know, as far as in the preseason game. So I'm riding with the Browns in this one.
Yeah, you know, in the battle of two of the most mediocre cities in the Midwest, I'm going to have to go with Cincinnati, man. I think Joe Burrow comes out. Like, I know you say he's 1-4 against him so far in his career, but I think they're going to come out on Sunday and really light it up. So I got Cincinnati.
I'm with you. Also, I can't actively put my interest behind that nasty man, so Cincinnati it is.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
Football anymore, in my opinion.
We're gonna go to the next game. This one is a skip game to me. Vikings open up their season at the crib against Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think Baker Mayfield is god awful. I don't really have like anything else to say about him. I think the Vikings will run up a check on these niggas on Sunday, which Bears need to win because I think all teams have a chance to be 1-0 in the NFC North. So I'm gonna go with the Vikings in this one.
Where's the game at?
It's in Minnesota.
It's in Minnesota. In Minnesota, I like Kirk Cousins. Like, it's crazy. Like, but that show quarterback, it found me saying, you know what? Like, I think he's a dickhead, but Kirk Cousins is not that bad of a guy. Like,
it's that quarterback show on Netflix that really.
It did a really good show. Like, I watched it and I was like, you know what? Like, I don't dislike this guy. You know?
Nah.
Personally victimized by Kirk Cousins.
He tucks his kids in the bed. He reads them Bible verses. Like, yo, this nigga's not bad.
To be that rich and he's driving like a Ford Excursion or some shit. I'm like,
hey, listen, man. He's got millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, and he dresses like my abuelo. Rest in peace. I respect the man. I respect him.
Yeah. Like he had the cribs he had and all that. But no, anyway, I got Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. I think the Vikings will take care of business at home.
Yeah, I'm gonna ride with the Vikings. It's a fishy line though. They're only favored by 5.5. You know what I'm saying? And they're at home, so it's a little fishy. Things that make you wonder, especially they're at home. Yeah. Things that make you wonder. I mean, the Bucs defense still with Vita Vea, and you know they might be tough. But I still got the Vikings at the end of the day.
Baker's just terrible, like Scott said, bro. Like he's just
bad.
Mike Evans.
He's gonna be on the trade block by trade deadline. Like, look out for a team to be able to scoop him. Like, if Pat keep throwing to
Patrick to
hall monitors, like he might be looking at two guys who I think are gonna be on new teams, wide receivers by trade deadline. I think Devontae is gonna join Rodgers in New York, and I think that Mike Evans might join Patrick in Kansas City.
What's Chris Godwin's contract look like? Is he locked in? Godwin's
locked in. I think they just re-signed Godwin like last year.
Yeah, they re-signed. They paid Godwin over Mike. So,
yep.
If you love field goals, this next game is for you. Saints at the crib opening up their season against the Tennessee Titans.
I resent that.
As a guy who has seen more field goals and touchdowns in his football life, I know when a field goal game is afoot. And this is one of those. The new look Saints with their quarterback Derek Carr hosting Ryan Tannehill, and you know, pretty much the same team that they had last year with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins. I'm going to go with the Saints in this one. I don't really like anything about Tennessee. I do think it'll be a close game, but I'm gonna roll with the Saints in this one.
Yeah, I like the Saints. Yeah, I like the Saints, man. I think this is playing in the Superdome. I think the Saints actually have the number one easiest schedule, or the number two easiest schedule in the NFL. They play in a terrible division, and I think this might be an easy game for them.
Yeah, you know, like you said, bringing the check down guard to team him up with Slant Boy, I think, you know, they're going to put some numbers up out there in New Orleans in those home games. And it's always a tough place to play. You know who I picked to win the division, but I think on Sunday, the Saints are going to take care of business.
My team is just catching so many strays right now. You know, I heard you just call that man Slant Boy. That's who
Slant Boy. The god, Slant Boy.
He has one route and he runs it very well. But hey.
One of the greatest Twitter nicknames ever, Slant Boy.
Yeah, I got my Saints to do what they need to do. Of course, I'm a little biased, but I mean, Tennessee does not instill any sort of fear into me, especially first game of the season in the Superdome. It's Saints by 10 points.
We're going to go to another NFC South game. We got the Atlanta Falcons. By the way, if you want to preview that game, there's a new episode of King's Landing out right now on the Barber's Chat Network. We got the King brothers, Brian and Jared. They'll be breaking down everything from this upcoming game and the entire season. Stay in tune with them if you want more in-depth breakdown of that game. But this will be our first look at Bryce Young. Hopefully he doesn't die behind that offensive line in the first quarter. I think I'm gonna pick Atlanta to win this one, man. I think Atlanta's an interesting team because they've got everything they need but the quarterback. And us as Bears fans, we know that pain all too well. I don't know how bad Desmond Ridder will be, but I just don't think he'll be good. But I do think there'll be enough to beat the Panthers. I think the Panthers will be a very bad team this year. And I'm not just saying that because I can't wait for the Bears to cash in that money in the bank in April of next year and get that draft pick. But I just think it's going to be a bad team. And I think that the Falcons will win. But I do think it'll be a close game. I think a lot of NFC South fans will be close because it's a terrible division.
Yeah, for sure. They're about to have a mid-off. Like, that game is – that's definitely, like, fall asleep on the couch by, like, 7 minutes in the second quarter. I really hate that Bryce Young is getting his first career regular season start, likely without Adam Thielen, without DJ Chark, which is a terrible situation. They say they're not going to give all the snaps off to Miles Sanders and they got to spread it out over the course of the season, but I really don't feel too optimistic about this plan to send your brand new franchise quarterback into battle with literally nothing positive going for him. Terrible offensive line, no offensive weapons. It's going to be ugly. Ugh, tough scene. I got to go with the Falcons, unfortunately.
Yeah, the Falcons.
Fuck them. Fuck them. I had to watch. I'm 34 years old. I don't know how many years I've had to watch my team play without wide receivers, a fucking quarterback at the number one position. Fuck them. This is what they get. Give us that top three pick.
Yeah. Bryce reminds me a lot of Drew Brees with his size. And you know how. And so with that old line, I think he really is going to struggle. I think the Falcons are going to beat him by 2 touchdowns. Like, I think a lot of people, we're putting such an emphasis on Desmond Ridder, and I get it because you do need a quarterback. But Arthur Smith runs the ball. Like, they run the ball. That's why they drafted Bijan. They still got Tyler Allgeier, who rushed for, I want to say, 1,200 yards last year, something like that. You got Cordarrelle Patterson. Like, this is a team that I think, with the personnel they have, they're going to be tough to defend a lot of weeks because you got Drake London on one side. You got Kyle Pitts on another side. Like, they have offensive weapons. So, for Desmond, you just kind of just don't turn the ball over. Like, you know, we know you hate telling the quarterback, don't lose me the game. But until we can see what he does as a quarterback, I know Arthur Smith is going to run the ball. And, like, that's just going to open it up for him. So the potential is going to be there for Desmond to be all right. And I think week one, because, like you said, I think Carolina's terrible this year. So I got the Falcons by 2 touchdowns.
Definitely, yeah, man.
I agree with you. I got ATL, and I don't think it's going to be close.
Yeah, I'm with all y'all on that, man. Let's go to the AFC South. Another quarterback debut in Indianapolis. Anthony Richardson, the Indianapolis Colts, will be hosting the defending AFC South champions, Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, them boys. This is going to be a blowout, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be a blowout. If you are in Indianapolis, you plan your trip to the mall in Sizzler. By the end of the first quarter, because this one's going to be a wrap. We're going to see Calvin Ridley. He's going to go off. I think that defense is going to eat. I think Anthony Richardson is going to throw a couple picks. I really do. I think it's going to be a big, big win for the Jaguars. Yes, I'm going to bet.
Yeah, bro, everything you hear makes you want to root for Anthony Richardson. And I hope he's, you know, ends up okay, but they're going to get smoked. I'm really high on the Jaguars this year. I think Calvin Ridley is going to come back and show you, like, he's one of the best receivers in the league. Like, I think route running wise, he might be the best. Like, there's not too many out there better than him. I know Bear fans, we've been hoping his brother, you know how everybody tell you the little brother's better than the little brother be terrible. Like, I feel like Chicago, we had to do that like 4 times. Like, him, the Teague brothers, like, it was a lot. But I think Ridley's going to really show out this year. And I got the Jags.
Yeah, I agree. I got the Jags. The Jags are -4.5. They're in the parlay of the week, so I'll give that out later, the full parlay. But I got the Jags money line. I do think Anthony Richardson could pose some problems for Doug Peterson's defense. If they, use him on the outside, kind of use some of his legs. He is he is mobile, and he's big as shit. So I think, the Jags have the potential. And I can't find the odds. I had it here, and I'll find it. But I believe the Jags have the potential to have the best record overall in the NFL this season. They play in one of the worst divisions outside of, both South divisions are terrible. And I think they will go undefeated in their division this year. So I think the Jags get off to a nice, hot start. This is supposed to be a big year for Trevor Lawrence. And,
You know, they won a playoff game last year, so let's see how they bounce back against, you know, they a divisional opponent that they should beat.
Scott,
you're
on
mute.
My fault. I pulled a rookie move. Let's move on to the next game. Steelers, Niners. For this one, man, I think this is the Steelers an interesting team as well. I don't trust Kenny Pickett because he wears two gloves, even though I do think he's shown a lot. But they're going up against the San Francisco 49ers, man. Brock Purdy in a full year. We're going to see if he's really good or not. But I think this will be a good game, and I do think the Niners you know, have a good chance to win. But I'm going to take the upset, man. I'm rolling with Mike Tomlin, and I'm going to roll with Kenny Pickett, George Pickens. I think they're going to put up a show. I'm not sold on Purdy. I'm just not. I'm just not whatsoever, and I wish all the bad things on earth happened to Kyle Shanahan because him and John Lynch get away with murder each and every year. So I'm going to go with the Steelers up in this one. Not only Steelers, I'm going to go Steelers big. That's my hot take. I'm going Steelers big.
How big?
By 14.
Against the 49ers defense?
Against the 49ers defense.
Wow.
That's cool.
I
echo your sentiments. They're in the parlay as well. I love the Steelers this week. I love home dogs. That's a thing that you'll see this weekend. I love home underdogs this weekend. There's a lot of unknowns with the 49ers this year going into this season. A lot of injuries. You got Javon Kinlaw injured. You know, Joey Bosa's coming back. You know, he's an animal. And, you know, he's worth every dollar he got. But is he ready, you know, to play 70 snaps? You got they're missing some people out in the the baby Troy Polamalu-looking motherfucker that be running around with his hair all crazy. They're missing him. And Brock Purdy's coming off of UCL. I don't remember, you know, my time, many quarterbacks that have, you know, had to have Tommy John surgery. And this is his first start. You know, back in the regular season. So I love the Steelers. I love their. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I think defense is going to remain supreme. The Niners are basically it's like a 3-point game. I think they're minus 2.5 on the spread. And you have to take into account for West Coast teams that are flying to play that early game in the East Coast. It's a 1 o'clock start here on the East Coast. So that's, you know, damn near a 10 a.m. start. You know, that does have an effect on players. So I love the Steelers. I think they're going to run the ball this year. George Pickens is a beast athletically. And I'm a big believer in Kenny Pickett this year within, you know, playing within the offense. They're going to ground and pound you with the two running back system they have in Najee Harris and Jalen Samuel. And I like the Steelers as well.
Yeah. I got Mike T. At home. I'm not as big on Pickett as everybody else, but I do think he will be serviceable in that offense. And so with everything around him, I think coming out, I think they're gonna get a dub to start the season off.
I see the vision. I think it's gonna be 14 points. That's a bold.
I'm riding with Omar Epps this week. So you going Steelers too?
Yeah. I'm going Steelers too.
Okay, bet. This next
I like
game.
I like three.
By three? Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah. This game screens 14-17, like some shit like that.
Yeah. 14-17 energy.
I'm gonna go 21-7, but we gonna see how it's gonna roll. This next one is a skip. Commanders, Cardinals. I'm going Commanders. I don't think we need any real big breakdown on this one.
Commanders. DC.
Yeah.
Sam Howell,
have a game.
AFC West matchup, Broncos, Raiders. The Raiders are a team that I don't know. It's a mess, which is pretty much what the Raiders have been my entire lifetime, the Raiders. I'm going with the Broncos in this one. It's going to be an ugly game, but I do have the Broncos winning this one over the Raiders.
I'm going Raiders, bro. I just don't – y'all know how I feel about the head coach in Denver, so, I mean –
I don't like him that much either, but the Raiders. I hate Minnie Hoodie worse.
Yeah, Jimmy G back with his boy. You know, let's see if they can work some magic. So I think week one, I'm gonna go with the Raiders.
I just hope both teams have fun. I mean, I'm a little sad as a Saints fan that my head coach came out of retirement to go coach someone else. That kind of stings a little bit, but like, you know. To be expected because he's a little slithery snake. Yeah, I mean, Jimmy G, that's my guy. I got to root for the Raiders. That's really all I got. Love Jimmy G.
Yeah, I'm riding with the Raiders. I'm riding with the Raiders on this one. I think we're going to get a heavy dose of Josh Jacobs and Jimmy G dissecting with, you know, Davante Adams and some of those other weapons. I don't believe in the Broncos yet. They're going to have to show me. So I'm riding with the Raiders.
The local hour is coming up in about 5 minutes, man. We've got Herb Power from the Bigs on the other side coming up. So we're going to get through these next couple games. Dolphins Chargers, man, this is going to be a real good game in SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, man. Tua versus Justin Herbert. You know the story between those two. I'm going to go with the Chargers, man. I think eventually they're going to have to break. I'm a big Justin Herbert guy. And not that I hate Tua. I think Tua's good, too, if he can actually stand upright. But I think that the Chargers are going to win this one. But I do think it's going to be very high scoring. But I'm going to go with the Chargers in this.
I'm going to go Miami. And anybody in the L.A. area, if you need tickets to the game, contact me.
Holla at this dude right here.
Right there. I got you. Yeah. We got you good prices. But, no, I'm going to go with Miami on the road. I really don't like Staley. I mean, like I said, I'm all for going forward on fourth down and taking chances and things like that. But a lot of his decision-making, it sets the Chargers up for failure. And he's done it time and time again. So, I'm rocking with Miami.
You know, I'm going to rock with L.A. Shout out to my guy, Jeremy. I don't think that Miami's going to go into L.A. and get a dub first game of the season. I don't see it happen personally. Now, I'm with you on the anti-Staley agenda. I think if they don't do something this season, he's gotta go. Because that relationship is done. And Austin Eckler is definitely trying to earn his supper. He knows it's a contract year, so I look to him to absolutely eat, not just this game, but this season. So I'm going Chargers.
Yeah, I had tossed and turned with this game. I was leaning Miami for a while. I'm going to be actually pretty big on Miami this year, but I am going to ride with the Chargers. I just think the possibility of the Dolphins playing without their prize free agent and their starting left tackle, Teron Armstead, is huge, especially when matching up against the other MAGA Bosa. So, you know, especially going on the road, it's going to be a shootout, but I ride with the Chargers, and it's going to be interesting to see this new – improved offense with Kellen Moore as the OC now with the Chargers.
Definitely. Let's next one, Eagles Patriots. I'm pretty sure everybody. I'm going Eagles, man. Like, there's really not much I got to say about this shit. Okay. I'm going Eagles all the way. Going Jalen Hurts, man. This is speed round that one. Everybody going Eagles?
Yeah. I'm anti Mac Jones.
Anti Mac Jones. Me too. Rams Seahawks. Jesus. If that is a go to the store game. I'm going Seahawks.
Yeah. Seattle.
Big Geno. Sunday Night Football. First Sunday. I can't wait to hear that racist NBC song come on. I can't wait to hear that. NFC East game to start it off. Dakota versus Daniel Jones. I'm going to go with the Cowboys in this game. Just because I don't trust the Giants. I mean, I don't trust neither one of these niggas, but I really don't trust the Giants. And it's going to be at MetLife. So that's what I'm going with that. Who y'all got? Cowboys? MetLife?
Yeah, it's
at MetLife. JetLife. Like my bad. JetLife. JetLife Stadium.
I got the Cowboys, man. I was originally riding with the Giants, but I see now that Darren Waller is questionable with a hamstring. Hamstrings are very tricky. Right, exactly. Yeah. And Wandale Robinson, I believe that's how you say his name, right? He's questionable as well. I'm actually pretty high on the Giants this year because I'm a big Brian Daboll fan. I think he showed he could turn, you know, shit into chicken. And he did that last year. And I think if he plays to Daniel Jones' strength and you got a healthy Saquon back there, they could play some noise. They're tough on defense. I'm not gonna front on the Giants. They're pretty interesting, but I'm gonna ride with the Cowboys just because of the injury uncertainty. And you know, for all reasons we said, this is a big year for the Cowboys. They have to win week one.
By the way, the local hour is like 3 minutes away. We got Herb Howard from the Bigs. He just pulled up into the room. We're gonna bring him in just a second. Courtney, who you got?
I got the Cowboys. I think they come out looking to make a big statement with this game against another divisional opponent for sure. 100% Cowboys.
I know I'm going to regret this. I feel like Daniel Jones is going to make a fool out of me, but I'm going to pick the Giants. I think the Giants are going to take care of business. I hate that Waller is questionable, but I love their head coach and their offense. So I think, you know, with Saquon back in the building happy, I think the Giants are going to get the dub at home.
And final game of the week, first Monday Night Football game, man. I can't wait to hear Joe Buck and Aikman. It will be at Jet Life Stadium, like Courtney said. It will be Aaron Rodgers' regular season debut. It is the 22nd anniversary of 9/11, so that will be – I know they're going to do the whole spiel before the game. It's the Buffalo Bills and the Jets. I think for the Jets, this is either going to be a really, really good season for them, or they're going to look like the Dream Team Eagles team. But I don't think they get it done in week one. I think Josh Allen comes out, spoils the party. I'm going with the Bills by a field goal in this Monday Night Football game. Who y'all got?
I got the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Shout out to my boy Mike, 96. Mike,
Shout out to my guy Mike.
I got his Nike t-shirt I ordered for him. It's here. I got to give him to him. But what is it? I'm a big fan of the Jets, man. Like, let's be real. Last year, their defense is legit.
Yeah,
they had everything but a quarterback. Now having a quarterback allows that defense to spend less time on the field than they did last year. And I think they go ahead and they find a way. And I think the Jets have a big year this year. So I'm riding with the Jets. Like I said, I'm big on home underdogs. That's my other single bet. So if you're keeping track, the only two singles that I'm on are the Jets money line and the Browns money line. I'm big on home underdogs. And I think, you know, the both defenses and the running game and the quick short passing game will prove to be fruitful that day.
You're about to pay my rent for next month. Thank you.
Courtney, Johnson, who you got before we wrap this up and we get the herb?
Oh, Jets, bro. I got the Jets. I told you. Like I said, it's a lot easier for me to say positive things about Aaron Rodgers because he's not kicking my team's teeth in no more. So I think the Jets are going to be a problem all season. As long as that offensive line can hold up, I got the Jets.
Yeah, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to allow his team to embarrass him in front of company. Nah, I think absolutely he's going to win game one. He has to. He's going to be in that locker room by the half if they're down, yelling at somebody. Somebody's getting a horse tranquilizer if they get hurt. Like, there's no chance that team loses Monday Night Football. I got the Jets.
Definitely. That's our week one preview. Mikey will give his parlay in the local hour, man. Courtney, I know you're not going to join us for the Misfit Hour, as we like to have here. So,
I'll wait until the end of September to slander the White Sox.
Okay. All right. Okay. But, let them know, anybody know they can follow you and, you'll be back on Monday. So,
follow me at 1-800-Colabro on Instagram, on Twitter. I guess I got to start working on the whole TikTok thing. Otherwise, I hope y'all have a good weekend. Horns down, Roll Tide, who dat, all that good stuff. I'm not watching baseball this weekend because I value my mental health.
Exactly. And your Rangers are plummeting, but we'll talk
about that. The Rangers are cooked.
We'll talk about that on Monday. We're not going to let you escape from that one. But thank you, Courtney. We're going to take a minute and 30-second break. And on the other side of the local wild, we're going to have Herb Howard from the Bigs Media, man. He's going to be joining us as we get into this Bears-Packers preview, man. So we'll be back in a second.